Welcome to Red Sox Digest, the only show where pain, sarcasm, and a dash of hope collide nightly like a Trevor Story strikeout. We cover every loss, every meltdown, and yes, even the rare win with brutally honest takes and zero front office fluff. Subscribe today at RedSoxDigest.com or risk being left out in the cold like a home game in April. And now, here's the crew at Red Sox Digest.
Just want to tell everybody that this space is brought to you by Red Sox Digest. It's our new website and also a new podcast that we have just started, where we're going to have unfiltered content about the Red Sox. As of today, you know, was a pretty good weekend, sweeping the Yankees, getting three wins. I didn't expect that. I thought maybe we would get two. Was pleasantly surprised by this win today. And felt a little bit more confidence moving into this West Coast trip, which is going to be a little brutal. And then all of a sudden, the Red Sox do the most Red Sox thing I've ever seen, and they trade arguably your best hitter in the lineup. And there's two schools of thought here. One, you get out from underneath the contract and maybe spend that money elsewhere. But I got to tell you, it's a little hard to take in on this, because if you want to compete in 2025, losing your best offensive player is not going to help your quest to get into the postseason.
So I'll add a little bit to that, because I know it's very emotional, obviously, for a lot of people. Everybody loved, you know, many people loved Devers. I didn't, but a lot of people did. A lot of guys, you know, it's their favorite player. So I understand it. I understand not liking it. On the other hand, within the next month, actually, I think sooner, you're getting Abreu back. You're going to get Yoshida back. You're going to get Bregman back. Offensively, I think we'll be fine. You know, obviously the pitchers like Harrison, you know, they sent him down. I've seen the kid pitch. He's got phenomenal stuff. He's going to be good. Who knows what's going to happen at the trade deadline. But just to be clear, why did they make the trade? Obviously, there were things going on in the background that none of us know for sure. But what we do know is if they made a trade of like this that they knew would piss off the fans, something was going on, whether it was between the players' endeavors or, you know, the front office. We know the front office endeavors had issues, but you know, maybe some of the players too. You know, they're not going to tell us everything. So keep that in mind, obviously, when we discuss it. But, you know, obviously, it seems like it's probably about 80-20. 80% hate the trade, 20% like it is what it seems like right now. So,
yeah, I mean, and to your point, Stan, you know, the reality is that we don't know what there might be in the pipeline too along with this. I don't know if there could be another move that gets us a right-handed bat. I don't know, because I was just thinking this today while I was writing a newsletter. You know, what are they going to do when guys like Bregman come back? You're going to have Bregman, Meyer, Story, David Hamilton, Christian Campbell, Toro, just Romy Gonzalez, just all in your infield. And there's certainly not enough room for all those guys.
Campbell probably goes down if he continues to play this way. Bregman come back.
Yeah, I mean, Campbell really has been a disappointment. I mean, I know he's young. We got to give him some time. But, you know, I think he's of those three guys. I think that might be the one that might go down. It's hard to say. We don't know. But let's see who wants to speak. 617, you want to give it a shot?
Sure. I mean, this is crazy deal. I think if you're a Red Sox fan, the season's over. Like, the season is over. We can't rationalize the deal. I mean, why would you make that deal right now? You just swept the Yankees. You're pissing off the fans. There's no reason you make that deal. And the return's terrible. The return is horrible. Like, it should be 100% to zero if you're a Red Sox fan in terms of hating that deal. I mean, it's a terrible deal.
Well, Josh, I don't like it either. I mean, the bottom line is that I think you could have gotten more. Stan said that I think Harrison looks like could be a really good deal, but I don't, you know, I don't know.
We optioned the AAA. I mean, he's no sure.
No, I know.
We're going to work on him.
Yeah, no.
And try to fix him up mechanically. But that, I mean, you traded your franchise player for a guy who's hurt in Hicks and then a AAA pitcher and an okay prospect. I mean, I don't get it. I want Heim Bloom back.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know.
I don't understand. The deal in no way helps you win this.
No.
Like, it's a full-blown sell. Like, what else can you sell anyway? Batman Duran? Like, you already sold.
Your points are dead on, 617. They are. They're dead on. But the thing is, like I said, for them to make this deal, they're not stupid. They understand what it does. They understand it's going to piss the fans off. So there had to be something major going on between Devers in the front office and or with the players in the clubhouse.
I mean, I feel like we sort of know what that is. I mean, they pissed him off in camp with first base or third base, and then they wanted to play first base.
Yeah.
A week ago, he didn't run down the bases, and you saw Cora get all pissed.
Right.
They just don't think he cared about the team.
Well, you know, so here's the other thing, too. He made a statement when he said, they want me to learn all these different positions. What positions do they want you to learn? They moved him to DH. He didn't know how to hit before. Says ridiculous statements like that. So,
I mean, he's handled.
I mean, he's a moron.
The kid didn't want to play, and he just didn't want to play. It was a horrible. He's a clubhouse cancer.
Yeah,
it's confirmed.
100%.
Got to go. He pissed on the owner. He pissed on the GM. And anybody who thinks Devers is not the problem, you have no idea what's going on. We're all going to find out. This is stuff we think. And for him to get traded, the dirt is going to come out so fast from every beat writer on that follows the Red Sox know exactly what went on and what's going on there. And they're not going to tell you that stuff while it's going on because the Sox would be pissed and they would be freaking disowned from, they wouldn't be able to cover the Sox anymore. We'll hear soon enough what's going on.
Here's my thing.
I don't think
it's all Devers and I don't think it's all Breslow and Henry.
No, it's 100%.
Why the heck is Breslow not shopping him around the league? Did you see the report that said they didn't shop him at all? What are they doing?
You know that. You don't know. We don't know what's going on.
He was not shopped around with other teams.
He may not have been shopped around, but does that mean that some other teams weren't calling on him? You're talking about the Sox actively shopping around. They were actively listening, probably so, and found out this deal was pretty good. I mean, from the looks of it, they got a decent haul back. It's not bad. They got their number one draft choice last year, and all the fanboys love their fucking prospects, okay? So you got to love that. They got that guy back.
Yeah, the other issue with this, too, is that how does the rest of the team, I mean, if you're Garrett Crochet, how do you feel right now?
The clubhouse hated him.
There were reports,
Chris Cotillo, the day that that damn press conference went out and he was throwing Breslow under the bus, he said, and there's tweets out there from it, he said there are players that are there that are pissed and they walked out and then even heard them say they want him to shut up. And that has been fucking confirmed. If you don't think that those players are pissed off at him, especially at what went on spring training.
Rob, I don't disagree with you, but the other part of this is that if you're Marcelo Meyer, if you're Roman Anthony, and you're coming up and you want to be part of a championship team, you know, trading Devers and what happened and what you got for a return, you can't be thrilled with that.
The kids are now up playing. They're just learning how to play the game. Roman Anthony has got so much pressure right now. He doesn't give a fuck. He wants to, he better start
and
playing.
He's got, and he's gonna have more pressure
more
now.
Time, and
he's gonna get more pressure now.
Hell yeah, he's gonna, but this is what you guys all want. You want the youth. You got it. You got rid of a clubhouse cancer who probably isn't very good to be around if you're a young guy coming up from AAA. You could look at it from that perspective too.
Oh,
coming
sure.
up with that, you know, and you got Alex Bregman, who by far is a better player than Devers in every aspect. Nobody wants to talk about that. And he has been better in his whole career. All right. and he's not being paid as much. What about that? He's now, he could opt back in, which is good because now they have a ton of money. They got rid of that albatross of a contract, which by the way, the contract was horrible.
Rob, I want to let Ethan speak a little bit. Okay. Ethan, go ahead. All right. Yep. Yeah, no worries. Ethan, go ahead.
Some of the talking points, we keep talking about, you know, not being able to coexist with Devers. I mean, how's the team going to feel now that, you know, you just win 8 out of 10 and now your best bat's gone? You know, you want to talk about
– zero to do with Devers. What did he do but leave two double plays this weekend? What did he do? He hit a home run. Okay, he gave them another run, but they were still winning the game anyway. How many times over this past weekend did he come up short when they could have scored a lot, especially yesterday? They left the world on base yesterday.
But Devers is not – Devers is not detrimental.
Detriment wrong with Devers as a person or as a
– No.
Because that's all
– Guys, if we're going to speak, just use the hand raise. It's just better.
All right. Where the hell is that at?
Yeah, Ethan, keep going. You were up, bud.
I mean, most of my points were stemming there from Rob.
Okay.
I want to go back to the point about it being a pretty decent haul. I can't find anybody who would believe that this haul is good. I mean, you're getting a converted starter out of Hicks who has not proven that he's been worth that. I mean, this has very clearly been a dump.
Can I respond to Ethan, please?
Yeah, go ahead, Stan.
So, Ethan, as far as not getting as good of a haul, you may very well be correct. They might have got more from him if they waited. I think the biggest thing was they were worried that if you know, all of Major League Baseball found out that he was this cancer, they'd get nothing for him. So essentially what they got was, I guess, last year's number one pick. And this Harrison kid, I've watched him. He's got really, really good stuff. He's going to be a great pitcher. I understand that doesn't help us this particular year. I get that. But I don't think it's as bad as it could have been. They're taking the entire contract, which is good. You know, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, yes, mm-hmm. Getting rid of your best hitter right now isn't, you know, in the plans for the playoffs. I understand that completely.
It's in the plans for nobody.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and I agree with that. But I think he had to go no matter what. So that's why they did it. That's the haul they took.
Now,
Hicks, I think, is going to be put in the back end of the bullpen when he's healthy. He won't be in the rotation.
Josh has his hand up. Josh, you're next.
The problem with this deal that I don't like at all is the fact that, I mean, it's again, all the blame is either going to go towards Devers or Breslow, when in reality, it's a salary dump by John Henry. I don't think this is as much about a cancer. I think there's some degree to this that involves the money again.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess it could be that too, but I mean, you're paying essentially that kind of money for a DH, and we all knew the contract to begin with was pretty bad to begin with. But, I think the meeting with John Henry was probably pretty telling over a lot of that too.
Well, I mean, you know, Red Sox fans forced their hand in signing Devers to that deal. Whether they wanted to do that or not is the question mark at that point.
Yep.
So we know that, but you know, and I hate to play hindsight, but I saw this tweet today from I think Big John Studd. It was a great one. He says, you know, he says maybe we should have stayed with Mookie at this point.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty telling. Ethan, you got your hand up again. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I mean, we want to talk about all the things that haven't come out for, you know, pertaining to Devers, if that's the topic we want to go down. Well, how about all the situations that, you know, players may feel that from the front office, and whether that's, you know, the current regime or past regimes? The Red Sox have really, and this is just from my point of view, really putting themselves in a position where, you know, prospects are going to feel a certain type of way when they're, you know, offered extensions or big free agents that are on the market. I mean, there's no loyalty within anything. We keep talking about Devers, but I mean, he is the one that signed the contract, and to say that things got this sour this fast on a team that has been winning, and you know, you can talk about the reports that some guys were upset about how he responded to the front office. They didn't say trade him. They said he needs to watch what he says. And now we'll see how they respond to that. Are we going to see, like you said, reports come out about players saying, thank God he's gone? Probably not. I don't see that happening. They're going to say, we just lost the middle of our lineup bat, and now we're getting pitched different, and we're swimming. Trevor Story has been hitting well lately. Guess what? Now they don't have to worry about Devers. They can attack Trevor Story in different ways. He might start swimming again.
I mean, I say you got some fans that were pretty upset with
him. Real quick, talk about Stan's discussing Harrison. Yeah, he may be a great arm, but the Red Sox have absolutely deserved no credit on their ability to develop and maintain young arms. We have yet to see that. That is the exact reason why we had to sell what we thought was a big piece of our future for Garrett Crochet, somebody who was self-made and will continue to build on his own for as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Ethan, you made a Stan, just one second. Yeah. Ethan, you made a couple good points. The one thing is too, think about Quinn Priester. I mean, we kind of gave up on him, you know, really, really quickly. And now he's off in Milwaukee and he's doing pretty good. But if you look at recent history, Nathan Eovaldi, Chris Sale, Nick Pivetta, all these guys leave the Red Sox and all of a sudden they're having better years. So what does that say about our actual talent evaluation and, you know, how we're, you know, working with them with Dave Bush and now with Andrew Bailey?
Well, there's a reason why the Red Sox wanted proven talent this offseason, and now they weren't looking for young arms that with high upside.
Eovaldi had a pretty good career in Boston.
Harrison does have 128 major league innings pitched. He's pitched in the majors before.
But that's still on the low end of things. It's somebody that's going to come and change what we know the outcome every single year that Rafael Devers was going to.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that, you know, I sent this video to a few people in this particular space, actually. But, I mean, the kid throws upper 90s, spots his fastball, and has a nasty breaking ball. I mean,
that's good.
He's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, you know, the other part about Ethan's thing, because there's 2 points that he made, that the first one was that, the second one I want to put is the optics are really difficult right now. I mean, if you are ownership management, who knows, maybe they don't give a shit, but when anybody else looking in, they're going to say, you know, you've gone through 2 GMs in a matter of a few years. You chose a GM who was your 17th choice for GM or, you know, head of baseball ops. You got players that said they don't want to sign here because of what's going on in this organization. You make a commitment to Rafi and now you trade him. I mean, I don't know. You know, you look at agents, you look at players. I know money talks and bullshit walks, but they've got to be looking at that and saying, here we go again with the Red Sox. It's another clusterfuck. Josh had his hand up for a while. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, to expand on that, I just don't understand as a Red Sox fan what the plan is. Cause like you said, this is the third GM in however many years. They keep blaming it on the GM. And in terms of young talent, like you have an ability to develop young talent positionally. But every time you hit on one, you don't lock them up, or you do lock them up and then trade them. I just don't understand what the heck is the plan. Like, I mean, in terms of pitching, yeah, Crochet, that's a good deal. You finally traded your positional players to do that. But who the heck is the middle of the order bat? Like Bregman and what? It just makes no sense to me. And it's gotten old. It really has gotten tiring. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Devers really wasn't your middle of the bat order. Remember, he's hitting second.
He's your RBI.
Yeah, well, I mean, but you know why they traded him this year. It was just a bad, this whole thing was.
They messed it up.
They didn't take to the Bregman issue as well as he should have. I mean, that's the whole problem of it. That's what it stems from.
Which is it's a lack of communication by Bresnahan.
There's something to think about that. These players are in contact with each other all off season long. Their agents hear things too. The fact that Devers didn't know anything about it, and then he walks in first day of spring training and he's like shocked. I mean, I don't buy that.
If that's the case, then you handled it horribly by not letting him take some reps at first base, because then Costas goes down and you have that old whole thing again.
Guys. Hold on. Devers told the front office, and he was vocal about this too. It was at the trade deadline, and I remember it was a couple of years ago, Kenley, Turner, Devers, they all wanted the ownership to go out and get more pitching. Well, in the offseason, Devers made a comment. He wanted the team to get better. He wanted free agents. He made that comment. They went out and got Alex Bregman. He was the best guy available.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how can you argue, if you're Devers, how can you argue with what they did? You want what's best for the team. Put your ass at first base and play.
You know,
no, I have to agree with that. Stan, I have to agree with that 100%. Yeah. I was really upset about Devers not wanting to be what appears to be a team player. And he really made himself look terrible in a lot of people's eyes from ownership and management standpoint. I mean, some fans probably upset, but you know what? He answered a lot of that with his bat. He was having a good season offensively. Probably you could even say might go down as probably one of his best offensive seasons. Benjamin, you had your hand up for a while and then down, but why don't you go next?
Yeah, good night, guys. It's just more of a question. Maybe Jim can answer this one. Do you see any similarity to the Nomar case when that happened with Boston?
I mean, I'll go first on that. Anybody else? A lot of that's going to be brought up. I would say, obviously, the gut punch is there. I think the difference with the Nomar trade was it was clear that he actually quit on the team. It was also a situation where he denied an extension. The Red Sox offered him an extension, and he denied it. So he wasn't signed long-term here. And then the fact is that 04 team was floundering around 500 at that deadline, and they had a shitload of talent on that team.
There's a lot of similarities there if you think about it. Malcontent wasn't happy. Regardless of the reason, team is floundering, like you just said before. And another point, too, is that Devers wanted the team to go out and get more pitching. Well, I guess they finally did. It was at his expense.
But, obviously to, Ben's thought there, I there is some similarity, but I think it's there's a lot of difference there. I see more similarity with the Mookie Betts trade to be more honest. Absolutely. Well, absolutely. Cause he was a generational talent in his prime.
Okay. That's,
okay. And the fact is that Dombrowski wanted to sign him and ownership didn't want him signing,
Betts. It was over money. It wasn't over a malcontent. It was more like, I think Betts has
go back in time. And you can see the smear campaign they were doing with Betts too.
Oh yeah. I mean, I was trying to appease the fans, I think, than anything else. It's like, look, let's get the team, let's get them on the side of the team and not on the player. But I think that this whole thing, I think Betts would have, and we all knew this, Betts would have stayed. They didn't want to pay him. They wanted to reset. They didn't want the whole, the salary cap. Per se, with an issue, they were going to get taxed. It all had to do with money. And then the whole sustainability thing. That's why we traded him. We're trying to build the minor league system up for sustainability. I mean, they could have signed Betts. They just didn't want to pay him.
Yeah. Well, it could be, could not be, because then they turned around and gave that money to Devers anyway.
Well, years after the reset.
I don't think they want to give that money to Devers anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think they wanted to.
It's an easy out.
Yeah, of course.
Blame it on Breslow and the whole deal with the controversy to get rid of that money.
Yeah, and that's a typical Red Sox thing.
Ethan,
go ahead.
I mean, I just wanted to talk about some of the points that were brought up about, Devers wanting to bring in talent to be better. I mean, that's should be expected from a leader, that supposed leader of the team, and people get mad about him not being a leader, outspoken, right? But he's proven it with his play. I don't think he would have been upset about Bregman coming in if it was handled the right way, right? We saw from the beginning of the offseason with Alex Cora saying, I love the way Bregman plays. I can see him being a second baseman. I can see him playing anywhere on this team but third base. And then you have the reports that Breslow doesn't even want Bregman, right? They don't want to go to that long-term deal. And obviously, in hindsight, we see the deal was shortened, right? We paid a little extra in AAV. But when you have your manager who's supposed to be the guy that has your back and he's saying, listen, Bregman's not going to play third base. We sign him, suddenly things change. Okay, fine. He can eat that. He took that, right? He had a struggle in the beginning. And he turns around. He's your best offensive player to this date. And then you want him to bail you out. I the whole situation has been awfully handed by and has been for pretty much every player that have relevance for the Red Sox in the last 10 years. And it's pretty disgusting.
I don't know about – I mean, I got to disagree with you on a little bit of that. I mean, yeah, they could have handled it better, but he could have handled it a whole lot better by just keeping in the clubhouse, talking to the GM, and working it that way. But he felt the need to have a clown show press conference where he went and insulted him instead. I mean, there's two roads to take. You know, I mean, he could have taken the high road and been the good guy in this whole thing. And he could have asked for a trade then. He could have said, let me, you know, and then it could have been all rumors. We would have been talking about rumors about him because there would have been leaks, right? But, you know, and we would have sided with Devers on that. But that press conference was a bad look for him, especially in front of his teammates. And that, again, that was already been made public.
Look, I mean, he's never been a leader. You know, I've argued this before, you know, and I know, Josh, you've been on a lot of spaces with me. You know, he's never been a leader. He never had to be a leader. You know, you go back to 2018, his rookie year, you know, he was surrounded by Mookie. He was surrounded by Xander. You had a lot of talent absolutely. On that team. You don't, you know, he didn't need to be that guy. He never wanted to be that guy. Yeah, and it's clear. I mean, it's ever since he signed that contract, and it's like, you know, and listen, you know, he takes interviews there, you know, some of it is in, you know, English, and he responds in Spanish and this and that. It's like, he knows how to speak English. I just don't know why he just doesn't do that when he's interviewed. The point of them I'm trying to get at is I don't think he wants to be in the limelight. He doesn't want to be a speaker. He doesn't want to be the leader of this team. And a lot of us think of him as a leader because he's the highest paid player, and it's furthest from the truth.
Yeah. And I think some players, it goes back to that. Some players can handle playing in Boston, and eventually it will wear on you, and it looks like it pretty much wore on him.
You know, Jim, I think I've probably said it in the spaces before, but I've always said if Devers is your number one guy, you're never going to win.
Right.
You're just not. You know,
good point.
In 18, you know, Devers was between pitchers and hitters. I mean, what was Devers, seventh or eighth most important maybe?
Well, Stan, I don't mean to interrupt you, but one of the things to remember in 2018, he was getting platoon with Nunez in a lot of that too. So he wasn't even really a major factor at that point yet.
No, that's my point. Like he can't be, if he's your number one guy, you're not winning anything. It's just the way it is. So, you know, obviously people are going to miss him and, you know, maybe even miss him this year, but let's face it. Up until these past 5 days, or this past week, we'll even say, the team has sucked. And Devers was on it. So it's not like Devers is some magical miracle thing here. The team has stunk. I'd have to look at the loss count.
A large part of that is Bregman being out. And Hauff being out.
Yeah. I mean, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I just think it's terrible timing.
For the trade. Well, I'm not happy with the timing either because, I mean, you look at it and you say you lose Bregman, you lose an impact bat. Now you're going to trade another impact bat. And, you know, to your point, Josh, like, you know, you and I, we talked many, many years ago. It's like, I always say, what is the direction of the team? Do you want to compete? Do you want to build from within? Do you want to draft and develop? Do you want to sign your young guys to contracts? I mean, I could sit here and I could say, I don't like the Rafaela signing. I don't like the Bayo signing, although he's looked good this year. But, you know, I think they went too early with some of these signings. And look, I can make the argument too that, oh, well, you know, do that now so that they don't balloon out. Well, they could have done that with Xander and they could have done that with Devers, you know, years ago when the contracts would have been half that price.
Right.
They didn't,
exactly.
You know, they didn't do it. Yep.
And the thing is,
the
thing that pisses me off so much is you finally start to see a direction. Like Chaim Bloom, way back when they signed Devers, said, you know, I hope you see what we're trying to do now. And at the time, you're like, yeah, they have prospects that can build around Devers. Devers can be a number two guy, number three guy to like Anthony being the main cog. And now you finally have that where your big three is up and you get rid of Devers.
You're absolutely right. But you got to look at the player for that because again, goes back to what precipitated all of this. Okay. And the way he handled it. Yeah, he was pissed. Should he have been pissed? Sure. Should we have known about it? Hell no. But here we are talking about it.
The end result is he's in
San Francisco.
It just goes back to Breslow and the front office and how bad they handled it. And it sucks because as a
fan, I'm not going to disagree. Yeah, I don't disagree. But that could have been handled in-house and it would have been put to bed already, regardless if he was still in Boston or not.
Yeah.
You know, all of that could have stayed in-house.
My biggest question is...
It's just a reset to the rebuild, which, you know, sucks.
Do you guys think Devers... Do you think Devers asked San Fran if he's going to take over for Matt Chapman a third?
No, he's not going to be doing anything in the field, period. There's no way. No, yeah, exactly.
He's going to Gold Glover, and so is Bregman. And right. I don't understand why Devers wouldn't know that he was never going to play third. I mean, I said it from the beginning.
You know what?
They give $40 million to Bregman.
You're absolutely correct. I'll tell you this right now because I'll probably forget. We'll go on to something different. But Devers could be going out there not thinking that because he came into the season thinking he was going to be playing third base and they had Bregman. So, I mean, it may be far-fetched, but when he gets there, he's probably going to say, oh, I'm never going to play third base. Wait, what's going on here? You know?
Well, like I said, if he – as a player, if you know you're probably one of, if not the worst defensive major league third baseman since you've come into the league, which that's a fact, and you're going to play third over a Gold Glover who they just paid $40 million for.
Yeah.
And now you're going to take that Gold Glover and move him to second where he hasn't played since college, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to have maybe a mediocre second baseman who you're paying $40 million a year to when you signed him to be a Gold Glove third baseman. How would that look for the ownership?
Exactly.
Everybody right now would be saying, wow, these guys are idiots. Why would you ever pay Bregman that kind of money?
I just don't understand why Cora made that public about the second base thing. It was a bunch of hogwash, but why even put it out there?
Cora's not
probably what they want.
So does this make Whitlock or Duran the longest tenure now?
I think Duran.
Yes.
I think Duran. Ethan had his hand up. Go ahead, Ethan.
Connor Long. Sorry.
617, that's Josh. That's your name. Yeah. Josh made a great point about the Cora comments, why he was at that. I mean, we're talking about, you know, Devers not being able to say things that he should, you know, may not have, and you know, the topics that come from it. But pretty much the entire season, Cora and Breslow haven't been on the same page. They've been mouthing different things to the public and media the entire season, right? So that's also a huge issue, right? There's too much nonsense going on with the entire front office and those making the decisions that, you know, we talk about, hey, Devers is running his mouth too much and it's affecting the play of the team, but how about those above him, right? It starts at the top, and they keep getting excused, and we keep talking about how Devers was a cancer in the clubhouse and he needed to go. It's just another scapegoat for the constant excuses and it's getting tiresome.
It could have a point there, but I mean, this is why they couldn't. You mentioned earlier, I think Jim, I think you might have mentioned it, but how many GMs turned down the job before Breslow? There was a whole bunch. I mean, you're talking about a young guy trying to be a GM as well. It's, you know, nothing's going to be perfect about what this guy does.
You keep scapegoating the GMs, though. The ownership has set a terrible precedent there.
And absolutely.
It's not going to die. By the way, the longest tenured player is Houck. And then
Houck. Okay.
Okay, it's Houck. Good call.
Christ. Anybody else that we haven't heard from? Will, did you want to speak? Paulie? I see Paulie on there. Sean, I see you on there. Nick, anybody else? Yeah, just raise your hand. I'll put you on to speak. Give us your take.
A lot of people shocked right now.
Yeah, everybody's just, you know, I tweeted that earlier. I'm like, I don't know how to react, and you know, from the initial sight of that. So
Nomar trade is the only thing I can really remember is having the kind of a gut punch, like, oh wow, they did it, you know?
Yeah, I remember that sitting on my couch. I was like, holy shit! I mean, it was almost like it was surreal because he was their baby, you know, and he was the face of the franchise at that time, and he was a speaker. And to get rid of him, I was like, I can't believe what I just saw.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, it's 20 years ago, wasn't it? 21?
21 years ago.
Wow. God. Probably some of the listeners we have right now probably weren't really old enough to –
I wasn't old enough.
Yeah.
They weren't.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mookie one was heartbreaking. For me,
and Rob, can you imagine what Twitter? Rob, can you imagine what Twitter would have been like in the and at that trade?
Oh my God! Oh, it would have been so. That would have been there. Would have been bridges. You'd have to check your people back then because holy mackerel, that was a big deal back then. That was a huge deal back then.
So what happens now when Bregman comes back? This is what I think they should do. I think Bregman should play third. Mayer should be at short. Story should be at second.
Yeah.
And we'll figure out first whether it's going to be a combination of Toro and Romy for the time being. And the reason why I say this is because Story, even though he's had a little resurgence this year, I like him at second for this reason. He doesn't have the arm strength at short anymore.
Yep.
And the reality is he's a below average shortstop.
Oh, I don't think he's below. It's close to it, but
if you put him at second,
he
instantly becomes an above average second baseman.
Yeah.
Don't think he's part of the future either in the long term. Meyer's your guy. Like, just
you're right. Yeah.
Well, that's another reason why I want that too, John.
Yeah.
Next year, you can get Campbell at second. You can make it send Campbell down and then bring Campbell back up and get rid of Story next year.
Jim, I want them to do that, but they're not going to do that this year.
No.
Right. As long as Story's playing the way that he is right now, they're not going to move him off.
However, let me, what about they keep, continue to play like this? Someone's willing to take him on. That way you keep Meyer at short. You keep Christian Campbell at second. And then somebody that you get could come back in. Maybe another hitter, another guy who can hit.
Rob, what are the optics of that though? You're going to trade your best hitter. And then you're going to trade Story. And believe me, I'm no Story fan. Anybody on this space knows that.
You're right. It depends on the return. But I'm just saying, if the return they can get is comparable, but it's a position where they get a first baseman that is pretty good, that can kind of take those numbers over. If Story's playing well.
What team?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. Look, I thought they were going to trade Tevers. I was hoping they would trade him to San Diego to be back with Xander, because Xander was kind of his babysitter. And I was saying that from day one. I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying that what if that return is possible for Story to get yourself a decent first base? Say you get someone like Arise from San Diego. I know he's not a great first baseman, but boy, can he hit, right?
Yeah, but I think I would think Story's off. His 2 years would follow that trade.
Yeah,
and you have to question what San Diego's benefit would be to get.
I know. I'm just throwing it out there. But
no, I understand.
Saying, you know,
I understand. Ethan first, then Rob. Then Josh.
I mean, real quick, we started talking about the trading of possible Story. Right, he would have to have an insane rest up to the deadline. And even then, you get nothing for him. You're hoping that he goes to a contender, right, who's looking for some sort of experience and depth. And, I mean, we're talking about, you know, try to get what you can from him. The Red Sox are able to get a minuscule package for one of the best hitters in the game. So we think that they're going to be able to finesse their way to getting anything of value in the story.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
If someone right now, just I'm going to give you any, whatever, a double-A player, just an average double-A player, and we're willing to take Story from you so you don't have to pay him $25 million for the next 2 years per year. Would you do it?
Without a doubt.
Me too. Yes,
right? The season's probably over. Next year's not looking great. We put Marcelo Meyer at shortstop and we can have some.
Okay, we're on the same page.
Devers is about the player and the money. Story is just about the money. And the reality is that you'd be lucky to get probably a middling pitcher. You know, in a minor leagues, you know, minor league middling pitcher.
You can get a ball relief.
Yep. Pitcher. You got it.
Bayo. Exactly. We got him for Rafael Devers. So that's kind of where we're at with things right now.
Exactly. Anybody else? Nick, Will, it came off with listener. Anybody else wants to speak?
Hey guys, sorry I was late coming in. I had a bunch of events this weekend, but, first of all, Jim, it's great to see you not be with the other guys anymore.
Here.
I was able to chime in a little bit with that post from stuff, but
love it.
Kind of like Jim experienced with, I'm not going to name them, the other guys. It was about a bunch of mistreatment and not having enough respect for each other for all the hard work that was getting put in. So, Jim, I give you kudos to also joining the club. Of trying it out, but realizing it's just not the best fit. So I'm excited to work with you and do some other cool stuff and see where things head.
Sounds good, Nick. Sounds good.
I was at dinner. All of a sudden, I was hearing people. I had a couple people that were next to me drop their phone. They're like, Devers is traded. And I looked over and I go, what did you just say? And I'm looking at the reports and everything coming in, and I'm like, holy crap, they actually did it. I had a feeling in me, I think some of you guys would probably were saying the same thing, but I feel like as soon as Bregman was here, And after Breslow and Cora and all of management pretty much botched this treatment on Bregman coming here, that this wasn't going to sit right with Devers. And I think it was only a matter of time until they found the right solution here. I'm stunned with them pulling it off now. But it was so mismanaged. It is a masterclass in mismanagement of not just Devers, but so many other players that have been a part of this organization. This organization cannot get themselves out of their own damn way. And it is an absolute embarrassment.
No, Nick, like I always say, the Red Sox are doing Red Sockian things.
It's disgusting. How have we won 4 championships since 2004, guys? Or girls, whoever's on here. It is unbelievable to even think we have 4 championships with this ownership and management and all this there. It stuns me.
Yeah. The direction of the team has just been absolutely ridiculous.
I don't even think they have a direction.
Yeah.
They don't know what direction to go. You want to play the kids? You want to get some veterans? You want to go out and bargain barrel basement signings for pitchers? Reclamation project? You have absolute zero identity. Zero.
Yeah, it's true. Look at all the money they wasted on the Garrett Richards of the world, the James Paxsons of the world. You know, the Sandovals of the world. I mean, it's just all these guys that they're just signing. You know, I mean, who is that infielder, Stan that we got? We never saw him. One of the old guys' kids. We traded for him as from Kansas City. Never saw him play. Mondesi, right?
Oh,
I mean,
I remember that. Everybody thought that he was going to be the next great thing.
He was going to be the solution.
He's not even playing anymore, is he? I don't think
probably so. Probably not. But I mean, it's just, This is what the Red Sox have become.
They've made mistakes, that's for sure.
Yeah,
Can you guys believe the teams that end up getting them out of jail, though, in these contracts? I mean, it goes back to the Becketts. It can go back to, obviously Mookie with his contract.
Paul Crawford, yep.
Sure, yeah.
These teams are just helping themselves with, like, oh, yeah, we'll help you out. Here's another get out of jail.
Yeah, it's every time the Red Sox fuck up, someone else cleans up their mess.
You couldn't have said it any better. You could not have said that any better.
Of course, they didn't help out at all with the Mookie Betts trade, that's for sure.
The thing is, we didn't sign him and we didn't have the money. You know, the Carl Crawford, we had that money on the books. David Price, money on the books. Beckett, money on the books. Adrian Gonzalez, money on the books. So, you know, obviously, you know, we traded Mookie, who, you know, was 2 years out from being a free agent. So they wound up getting him for 2 years cheap. But the bottom line is that everybody comes to our rescue. It's unbelievable.
Well, hopefully they did again.
Josh, go ahead. You had your hand up, bud.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my question is, you know, what are we going to do now in terms of a DH? Does Yoshida come back into the fray, or is this kind of a rotation of those 4 outfielders that don't have spots?
Oh, Stan,
or Campbell there. Like, it's just a kind of weird fit still, because even trading Devers doesn't fix that whole lefty problem in the outfield. And now with no free agency, like in terms of with Vladdy being off the books, you know, like you're not going to find that bat in free agency. It's just a mess. It really is.
Stan, you think Yoshida will be the DH, don't you?
More than likely, yeah. I think.
Send Campbell down, I'm assuming.
I would think so. I mean, honestly, right now Campbell's just useless. I mean, he can't field, he can't hit. What's he doing?
Yeah. Are you sending Anthony down too, though? Because like, there's that's still.
I don't think you can send Anthony down. So I think that's a bad look.
They have a shoe on Anthony. They just moved his locker. I don't know if there's a big deal or not, but they just moved the next to Durant.
No, I thought that was a big deal too.
Send Anthony down. I would think out of the three, of the mayor, the Anthony, and the Campbell, I think Anthony is the least likely of those three to go down.
And I think Mayer is also not likely. I mean, I've been impressed with him defensively. And as far as his offense is concerned, yeah, he's not crushing it right now. But he doesn't really – he doesn't look overmatched. His at-bats are pretty decent.
Yeah.
He's seen a lot of pitches. I mean, almost to his detriment.
He's almost been good. I'm just trying to figure out this whole logjam thing that was not fixed with this Devers trade at all. Like, you still have too many guys in the infield. And you still have too many guys in the outfield.
I feel like there's got to be something else. There's got to be another domino to fall.
You moved to DH. So
they're going to sell Duran. They're going to sell Duran.
I think so too.
They're just going to blow it up. And it just sucks for the fans.
And you know why? You know why I think they're going to sell Duran? I don't think it has to do with the whole money thing. I think it has to do with all the, you know, he's just unfiltered. And I think Henry doesn't like that as the organization. If the guy's going to cuss out a fan or if someone's going to throw something at it, you know,
That's not going to work.
So I just think that that's where Henry's like, I'm done. I'm not going to sign this guy. So they're going to look for somebody to, you know, be a trade partner for it.
Well, here's the thing about Duran. They're never going to offer him a long-term deal anyway because he's a free agent, I think, after his age 32 or 33 season. So there's going to be no urgency to sign him to any kind of long-term deal. The second part about that is if he loses his wheels, forget it.
He's one hamstring away from being irrelevant.
And let's not forget the point, too, with Devers batting second in this lineup. I don't think you're seeing Duran move as much as you normally would. I mean, because it's just going to cause more walks to Devers, and especially with Bregman out of the lineup, you know? So no one's going to – they're going to – if Duran steals second, they're going to walk Devers at that point, and they're going to pitch to who? Romy Gonzalez. So, I mean, that's another issue too. I think it's a great opportunity if they want to move Duran. Now is the time to do it.
I can't wait to see these lineups they're going to put out for the rest of the season. It's going to be unbelievable.
Don't forget, we still have Grissom in the minor leagues, too.
I don't like the idea of moving Duran. I don't like the idea.
Did you see that report? They want to trade Duran back for sale.
I did.
That's not real. That's just somebody putting it out there.
Surely
it's a joke, but the fact that it even comes out is just hilarious.
Isn't Duran... Duran's under team control, what, for three more seasons?
I think till age 32 or 33, yeah.
And he's, what, 28 right now?
He's in his prime right now. I mean, you'd really have to and he costs nothing. So you'd really have to get quite a haul back to make that trade mean anything. At least with Devers, you can say you unloaded a monster contract. Whether you agree with the trade or not, they did unload a monster contract. With Duran, if you made that same trade with Duran, you're unloading nothing.
Stan, the only thing that I don't like about that is the optics again, because you just got rid of one of your best offensive players. You're going to get rid of your second best offensive player or third if you're counting Bregman. It's a very hard look, especially if you're not going to replace that bat with another impact bat. And I don't know if they're going to go and do something like that. I floated the idea of is there a trade that could be made? And I don't want to say, I'll say who I said afterwards, but is there a trade that could be made if the San Diego Padres want to move money, would they move Tatis? Because I'd love to have Tatis in my lineup.
They'll never move Tatis.
Right.
What position is Tatis?
He's a right fielder.
Yep.
Yeah. What are you going to do with the? He already got a log jam as it is.
Well, you'd be moving another piece. That's my point.
But piece, if you got four, so when you move one, you're going to have three left.
Even if you wanted to move like Duran and Abreu, right? And let's say a minor league or for Tatis, whatever. Let's say you wanted to do that. Don't get me wrong. I would do it. I don't think San Diego wants to get rid of Tatis, especially when they're so close this year.
Oh, I don't. I don't either.
I would do it if it's not.
I'm just curious, like, you know, what's the direction of the team? Are they looking to compete this year or are they waving the white flag? Because let me tell you something, without getting another impact bat right now, I'm questioning what the rest of this season is going to look like.
You're right. You're absolutely. I think you're right. But I think, you know, we got until the deadline. As long as they stay where they're at, they're playing good ball. I think.
Now, here's the other thing. Sorry to interrupt. Here's the other thing. If Meyer had come up and he was absolutely killing it, if Campbell was killing it and Roman Anthony had three home runs already, then I'd say, well, all right, you know, you're probably replacing the OPS of Devers, and then some. And I probably wouldn't worry about it.
Well, you should be. I mean, I think that they could probably come close to that. I mean, again, they just got up. They haven't been playing. Devers was not happy there.
Absolutely. But the question is, will they? Because I think you're still trying to compete this year. I could be wrong.
If their pitching stays the way it is now, which has been great the last few games, if they can get that on a semi-consistent basis, they can be better. I mean, they're 500 now. They can't be around 500, a couple of games higher than that in another month. And then make your decision if you're going to be all in or not. You know,
Ethan's got his hand up. Go ahead, Ethan.
I mean, these are just really sad things that we're trying to rely on to go forward, right? And kind of almost cope with the idea that the rotation's going to stay where it's at. Probably not.
No, it's not.
It's likely not. And we're talking about trading for an impact bat, right? Who is that, right? Who's the impact bat out there that's going to meet all these undefined requirements that need to be to stay with the Red Sox? And then it's kind of sad that as Red Sox fans, we have to hope that three rookies combine to contribute to and make up for the lack of OPS of a lefty bat that we just gave away. There's a really unfortunate thing, and they were avoidable, very avoidable, right? And I refuse to believe the relationship between the Red Sox and the Devers was so past reconstructing that they had to give it away for what they did. It's there's really just no way to put it. It's awful.
There had to be a reason they did it.
Yeah, exactly. You know the reason. It was already out there what the rumors were. This just confirms it. I mean, whether you want to believe it or not, that's you. But you can see, read the tea leaves. It's just obvious.
Getting mad at Devers for not wanting to play first base because you're.
It's more than that. It's the way he. It's more about that.
It's a lack of roster building and foresight.
That's fine. But it's more than just that. It's more the issues in the clubhouse. That's already been reported, and it's going. You're going to hear all about it. So, I mean, we can harp on it. Is it horrible? It sucks. It does. In the end, it kind of had to be done.
Let me ask Ethan another question. Do you follow Lou Maloney at all?
Not as much as others, but.
Okay. I don't either. But he did make a couple good points when they asked, what makes you think Devers can play first? Well, Maloney said, if you're a third baseman, you can play first. That's like saying a shortstop. If you're a shortstop, you can't play second. Of course you can. You're going to be a better second baseman. So Mike Lowell made a comment on MLB Tonight. He said it would take Devers 2 days to learn first base.
There you go. Yeah.
So yeah. Devers can play first. Look at, you ever see Daniel Vogelbach? He's about 400 pounds.
Yep.
He played first base.
Okay. Well, Rowdy Tellez, please.
Rowdy Tellez.
Yeah, but there you go. But I mean, you know, and the other thing, Stan, too, if you look at just recent history, how many guys have been third basemen that became first basemen either out of necessity or need? I mean, it goes on. Kevin Youkilis came up as a third baseman, became first baseman.
That's a great point.
Okay.
It's the easiest infield transition.
All right. You know, Mike Napoli was a catcher, became a first baseman.
Yep.
Miguel Cabrera came up as a third baseman, became a first baseman.
No, went from right.
I mean,
guys,
you know,
remember,
I mean,
he also put Kyle Schwarber at first base at some point.
Yeah,
he did what
Pete
the team
Rose
needed.
And he, how about
team needed at the time?
Carl Yastrzemski.
There's the one right there.
That man.
Okay, I mean, you know, we could go on and on about it. If those guys can do it, then Devers can do it.
Of course, he could have. That for him not to go to first was just, I mean.
So you have to assume this is one of those, all right, we'll fix your wagon, you're out of here type of situations.
100% it was.
Wouldn't you guys would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when Henry went out to Kansas City to hear what was said?
Now I do, because I thought that it
would have been an HBO special. Oh my God.
That's what should have been on Netflix.
Because Breslow wasn't even allowed in the room, if you remember, guys.
Yeah, he had to sit at the children's table.
Table outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, Devers was pissed off at everybody, man. He wanted nothing to do with anyone then. And then you're right. What would have went down the conversation?
Here's the other thing too. And again, I don't know. Call me a cynic. Maybe this has nothing to do with it. It's kind of funny that they wind up trading him to the Giants, because you know, the Dodgers probably would have an interest, but then you reunite him with Mookie Betts. You know, you could have traded him to San Diego, but then you reunite him with Xander Bogaerts. So throw him out there, but by himself again.
It might have been his least favorite destination. I, I said, if he wouldn't play first, if I were the owner, if I were Henry, I would say, okay, listen, you don't want to play first. You're not going to play. Okay. Write down the five top destinations you want to be traded to, and then the five least ones you want to be traded to. I would have picked one of the ones on the least. So, yeah, that's what I would have done to him.
Josh, go ahead.
This is the last thing I'll say tonight. I mean, I just think there's just so much blame to go around. It doesn't fall on any one person. I mean, Devers should have sucked it up, played first base, shouldn't have been like that with the media in spring training. Breslow should have prepared Devers better for first base. If he's going to trade him, he should have shopped him around to get the best return. Henry doesn't want to obviously pay people money long term, and the way he treats GMs is atrocious. I mean, that's why he can't get a better GM in here. I mean, the whole thing with, you know, Devers getting out from underneath this is a ridiculous way to do it. And then Alex Cora can be fired for all I care. I mean, he deserves blame for so many things. The second base stuff in the offseason is a complete joke. Not preparing Devers to play first base. I mean, when Costas goes down, now you're screwed. You have this whole dilemma. It's atrocious. It sets the franchise back probably 4 or 5 years. You're not winning anything for 4 or 5 years. I mean, and as a fan, I think every fan has the right to just simply not care about this team anymore until Henry sells it or Breslow's fired.
Yeah, and it's a good point, because the reality is now you're going to set us back a few more years. You know, you're in the prime years for Crochet, you know, signing this $170 million deal. And, you know, I just wonder the optics of that. What are these players saying to themselves?
You know,
they're happy. I think they're so young, they're happy to be playing in the majors. That's what I think.
I was with Josh, you know, before, like when he said, you know, why even cheer for this team? And, you know, Jim, you certainly know that about me. I haven't been excited for this team in a very long time. And then this year, they made the deal for Crochet and they got Bregman. And I said, you know, it really looks like they're doing something now. But
it looks like they care, but it just seems like it's all a lie by the fact that the way they've treated theirs.
Well, this year in the offseason, they did a pretty good job. It wasn't bad if you look at what they did to get the season going.
And then
you come into the season and Giolito gets hurt, and so does Buehler, and of course Costas, and now Bregman. Look, man, to be 500, would you think that they'd even be 500 at this point if all that happened? And then you throw in the Devers stuff. Well, so I mean, you can be pessimistic about it, and you got all the right in the world to be, because I agree with everything. They sucked the last few years. I didn't like the GM previous because of some of the situations that went on there, but that's all done and gone with. But I understand where you guys are coming from. It's just that I don't think it's all doom and gloom. I can't get that way right now about it.
I
don't know. It's just hard for me not to feel that way. I mean, I guess it's the most
responsible. I was very pessimistic about the bullpen this year.
I mean, it's a closer.
That's the one thing they didn't address well enough in the offseason, and it's burned them. But I mean,
however, you're absolutely right. But you know what? There are a lot of other teams that are saying the same thing.
You can fix that at the deadline. Like, this team,
yes.
I know 100%. This team is cooked now. Like, there's no way you're going anywhere. But this team could have gone somewhere. You could have managed Devers' ego for the rest of this year.
How about this? So maybe they, did fix their bullpen with these two guys. We don't know yet.
One second, guys. Chris Henrique, you're on there. You want to speak with us? I'd like to hear your take. We can get you on. I'm inviting you to speak, Chris, but it's not coming on. See if you can.
I'll try.
Request.
I'll try.
You want to try him? Yeah. I'd like to hear Chris's take. Chris. I've always enjoyed Chris's stuff.
I think I got him.
Chris. Hey, how are you? Yeah, I wanted to get your opinion about all this. I like your stuff. So what do you think?
It's been not a difficult to process because I just wasn't expecting this. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of had a sense maybe with the way things went down in the spring and then him calling out Breslow that maybe this day would come, but in like the off season, not in June, not after you won 5 in a row, you've put yourself back into the wild card hunt. You've seemingly built the momentum that you've been trying to scratch and claw for the last 2 months. It makes me question what is the friggin' direction. I understand there's a lot of young players, but what is the direction at this point? because now you've traded your franchise player. You did not get apples to apples back for the player. You never do in these cases either. They seemingly continue to make trades and acquire pitchers. And it's, to me, it's like, are you forgetting that you have a lineup that you need to build at the big league level? Who's going to hit where in this lineup right now? To me, I don't want to overreact yet because it almost feels like there's got to be another shoe to drop. Like they have to have another trade lined up. There has to be another bat coming in. But if there isn't, and this team goes 10, 14 days with seemingly what is going to be a tough product to watch, it's like, I have to wonder, are the players right now on that plane demanding answers from Alex Cora? Cause that's the only guy they got to go to right now.
Chris, can I ask you something specifically?
Go ahead.
Do you think the players in the clubhouse maybe had a little animosity toward Devers too?
No, there's with some of what people have reported, especially in regards to, yes. In some of the stuff where it was reported where, you know, there were some players kind of like curious as to why, you know, Devers just wouldn't play first base. I don't think that stuff is off base. You know what I mean? I know a lot of people quickly jump at some of the reporters and social media because they don't like what they're reading. Because you don't like what you're reading doesn't mean it's not true.
Right.
And I'm seeing a lot of that tonight too. And it's kind of like, I get it. You're upset. You're angry, but it's not the reporter's fault that Craig Breslow traded Rafael Devers.
Right. No, of course.
But at the end of the day though, no, I think that, you know, the team, the players know that you're better with Rafael Devers.
Okay.
I don't know, I'm struggling to understand, you know, the long term right now.
That's
where I'm left speechless, you know.
Another specific question for you. Do you think within the month, because we're supposed to be getting Bregman back, Abreu is supposed to come back even sooner, I think, on this road trip, and also potentially Yoshida. Do you think those three guys can handle that offensive load? Assuming Story continues to hit the way he's been hitting, and
I still think that I felt that they needed another bat in addition to Bregman coming into the year. Okay. I still think they're going to need another bat. I mean, you're not going to replace Rafael Devers, obviously, in that production. Right. I'd like to say yes to your question. Story being a caveat as part of that, you know, he's such a streaky hitter. Like, he could, you know, get hot for 3 weeks and then he'll go cold for five. You know, they're going to get Bregman back, but they're going to need more. They need another bat. And, you know.
Chris, I think the optics on this are, you look at it from the beginning of the season, and when you had Tristan Casas, and a lot of people know I'm not a Tristan Casas fan, but you know, there was an expectation that he could hit you 30 to 40 home runs and be an impact bat in this lineup. You lost him, and you obviously have made do with Foro and Romy Gonzalez and so forth. The question is that, you know, how long can those guys continue to produce at the level they are, being backup players to begin with? Then you lose Bregman on injury, and granted, he's going to come back sooner than later, and you've been treading water with that. Now you trade Devers. So to your point, we had already needed another bat when Tristan Casas was a healthy first baseman. Now you're saying, great, now we're going to be down three, maybe even four bats that we should have.
And, you know, the other thing, Chris and Jim, what impact will it have on the other hitters? Are they going to press? You know what I mean? Are they going to press hard? We got to make up for that. Or do you think they'll just settle into their thing and just kind of do their own thing and be what they're going to be and all work together? I mean, it could go one of two ways. You know what I mean?
Stan, you actually made a good point. I was thinking about that with the kids that are up. I would think the pressure's on them a little bit more now that you don't have, you know, Devers in that lineup trying to figure out, okay, how to get it done. I think when you think about it, I think Meyer is going to be the one that I think is going to maybe even exceed expectations from us, you know, in the short term here, you know, and hopefully lightens the blow here and gives us something to, you know, to have without Devers being there. That's just what my gut reaction is telling me right now.
Yeah, because like I said, it could go one of two ways. You know, you lose a star, sometimes all the other guys step up, and sometimes the other guys fold. So I guess we're going to see what we're made of.
Chris, have you been hearing any? Chris, have you been hearing anything else? Like, you know, some of your minor league things or anything like that about any other shoes dropping? Or is it just really quiet right now?
It's super quiet right now. It's
okay.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's not, you know, super difficult to, you know, get people to kind of talk. But right now, it's been very, very, very quiet. And I don't know. I was just kind of reviewing the roster again as you guys were talking, and it's like if I'm an opposing team, like, you know, there's no one in this Red Sox lineup that I'm afraid of. You know, the young kids haven't done anything just yet. I think you're putting a ton of pressure on Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer now. They don't need that. You know, they already get the pressure of being young kids in the bigs. Now you've just, you know, like you've traded the star of the lineup. Like, you know, who do you as a pitcher now game plan for in the Red Sox lineup? There's no one. You know what I mean? Like the Red Sox lineup right now, until again, depending on how things shake out and they got players coming back. But in the short term, man, like I don't know.
We're speechless.
It's really what it is. And they just
need to have Romy and Toro continue to do what they're doing. Ref Snyder, I mean, those guys have stepped up. They've been leading.
Rob, they stepped up, but Navarez. We got to make sure we.
Let's not forget about Navarez.
The issue with those guys, and what I said a few minutes ago, it's great about what you're getting out of Romy Gonzalez and Toro and guys like that, David Hamilton, but I don't think it's a sustainable product. No, that's not the problem.
But that's why I was just saying, let's see what happens by the deadline. I don't want to be doom and gloom yet. I'm going to give it a little bit of time. If they can just tread water, find out what can happen at the end of July. We're only talking about a month.
No, I think that's fair though, too. I think that's a fair, you know, also assessment to make. I mean, right now in the short term, you know, a Red Sox fan, it doesn't want to hear that. And I completely understand that. You know, there are times that, you know, you go on social media and you read half the shit that you read and it's kind of like, all right, can we just stop bitching? But like right now, the Red Sox have legitimately gave fans tonight a reason to be like, what are we actually doing? So again, there is still, like you said, we have a full month before the deadline. Yeah. You know, they can go out and make, look, they just made a surprise trade in trading Rafael Devers, who we didn't know was available. How do we not know that they aren't talking to a team that has a player that may not be available, so to speak, and they pull off a crazy blockbuster deal and now we're talking about something different. You know, well, who that looks like, I don't know, but.
Well, I think that's the hope, you know, because at this point, you know, I think most of us are in agreement. I am with you, Chris, that we need two or three bats.
And let's not forget, though, they just swept the Yankees, and here we are talking doom and gloom about the future of the franchise.
Oh, leave it up to the Red Sox for that. Just typical, but let's enjoy a little bit. This crap hits us.
Well,
I want to give Will a chance to speak, and then Ethan. Will, go ahead.
I feel like this is like all the trade deadlines rolled into one. And does the team put up or shut up now? Do they feel like the front office is punting on the season again? Or do they feel like, okay, they got rid of Devers, now we have to step up? I have a bad feeling it's the opposite. It's going to be that same trade deadline mentality where the whole team just gives up and just says, you know what? They don't believe in us. Fuck it.
If you move Chapman sooner than later, then yeah, I would say you're right. But you know what? It's very hard to trade your best offensive player and then run commercials, come to Fenway Park and watch the Red Sox.
So Jim, and maybe Chris might have a little bit of insight on this too. I had stated this earlier. Here's what doesn't make sense to me with what happened to Chapman. So, we had a day off Thursday. They weren't going to have Chapman pitch tonight Friday, but he ended up coming in through 14 pitches. Then they decided to give him 2 days in a row off against the New York Yankees. Cora said, we said we needed to give him a couple days rest, but you're going to give it to him against the New York Yankees?
not the Mariners, not the Angels, that the Yankees are going to give him rest when you already knew you had the lead. That makes no sense to me.
And but they won the game.
Hold on. It scares me a little bit because they had a 2-run lead and did not use Chapman against the New York Yankees.
That's all. But to think about it the other way, Whitlock looked great. He was dominant. And this is something that a lot of us as fans saw this as maybe he was going to be the closer of the future before they made a stupid decision to try to put him in the rotation. I thought that was great. Maybe Whitlock can step up and be a closer now.
Look,
he could help out. The pressure situations stepped up in the biggest time of the season against the best team in the East.
I genuinely feel that if this team is going to do anything, and that's be a wild card team or whatnot, you've got to have Chapman back there.
Oh, absolutely.
We're done.
It's good. Yeah, it's good to know that you've got a guy. Look, Slayton was supposed to be that way, but the bullpen, right, because of the rotation, they burned his arm up.
But Rob, Whitlock can't pitch. Whitlock can't pitch every 2 days. That's all he can do. So you can't have a closer.
You're getting me wrong. You think he's going to replace Chapman as a closer? I'm talking about, look, he stepped up when he had to. Correct. To be the closer. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's all.
But
that's
what I'm saying,
that was good to see from Whitlock.
It was awesome.
I'm worried about Chapman. I think there's something going on with Chapman.
There could be. They're using him a whole. They've been throwing him.
Remember,
a lot,
he tripped on that first base bag too.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what Stan's getting at, because we talked about that earlier today.
Good call on that. Yeah.
Because why would you give him rest against the Yankees and not against the Mariners?
That might have been the reason. They're not going to tell us the truth, but there you go. I mean,
that's what we're
going to tell us the truth. That's funny.
I know.
Yeah. They've never done that. Ethan, go ahead, buddy.
My main question was going back towards, Rob's question about, not being all doom and gloom yet and just trying to stay afloat for the next month. We've been staying afloat as is, and that was with Rafael Devers, and we're talking about, possibility of more moves coming. What are those moves even possibly be? What do you go out there and get, right, to replace Devers' production?
You never know who's out there. I mean, you could be
the pieces to move.
Look at Duran. Duran's a pretty big piece. If somebody's willing to part with somebody who's at the end of a contract and throw in something else and you get Duran, we've got a logjam in the outfield. Strange things have happened. I mean, this is the
You get rid
thing.
Of Duran and the vibes get so low on the team.
I get it.
Cool guy. He's preached for him, all the way back.
He's kind of a team leader, too.
Yeah, but again, we mentioned earlier, as Jim, I think, brought up earlier, is that I don't know if ownership gives a damn about his leadership. They don't like somebody who's outspoken. And, I think he might be the odd man out. I don't think they'd have too much of a problem. But I think, Jim, you mentioned that they're not going to give him a contract. And he's about as high as he's worth right now more than he's ever been worth, even though he's going through a little slump. The moment he hurts himself, he gets a hamstring or does something where he can't play, hurts his legs. That's all his game is. It isn't his bat. It's his speed. And once he loses that, his trade value is nothing.
Yeah, of course. That's what I was saying earlier. And that's the number one reason why they won't extend him, because they've got team control of him for another 3 seasons, and then you're going to see him shipped out. So the point being is that if that comes to fruition, you're better off moving him. I think they should have moved him at last offseason, right after being an all-star MVP and having an MVP type caliber season. That was the time to move him, because let's not forget, when he let that ball go over his head a few years back, you couldn't have get a box of balls for him. Yeah. At the end of last offseason, you could have probably gotten, a number two or number one.
And if he hurts his leg anytime now, between now and the trade deadline, he won't be worth anything.
That's correct.
That's why now is the time. If they're going to do it, I'm not saying
he might get hurt and we lose all trade value in him. That's not.
Well, I mean, that's how they do. Well, they play on hypotheticals. They're always going to do that. That's what their analytics are about. They've got all kinds of things they play. You need to have veterans. I get it. But if he can, he's an extra guy to fill your need from your strengths. You feel those weaknesses, and that seems to be the strength is the outfield right now. I don't want to see him trade anybody. I hate that. I don't like that at all, but it means you got to. You know, and then you start deciding, okay, which one is the one that's going to be going? It's not going to be Rafaela. They've signed him to an extension. Clearly, he is their guy, and they value the multiple position.
Well, Abreu Devers could be, was signed to an extention, well, and he's gone. So,
well, that's how many years later. Yeah,
but totally
that's,
true.
That, yeah, so. but it's also we didn't piss off the clubhouse, but we don't have to go down that road again. Abreu, they could. Abreu could be the odd man out. If maybe a team is interested in Abreu a whole lot more than Duran. I know that San Diego needs an outfielder big time, but we've heard, I think if you follow any of the guys that write or you watch the shows right now, they don't have the talent to trade anybody, and that's San Diego. So
they can get us going. We're still all back, and I'll be here.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. That's
funny. Did you see my tweet on that? It blew up.
I'm good friends with Don, let me tell you.
Yeah, that would be San cool. Diego,
but he misses being home.
I love Don.
Don is such a classic. He's such a good
guy. Does he live in the New England area in the off season?
He has family back here.
Okay, so he does. He's able to come back.
Family friends.
Oh, that's cool. No, he's a good dude.
He's got some roots in Connecticut as well. And his mother.
That's nice. Yeah, that's nice. That's good to know that he comes back every once in a while.
He does. Yeah, he's very. I mean, he's still beloved. It's almost been 10 years. Can you believe that?
You know, I mean, stranger things have happened. I don't know when his contract's up. I know he just signed one, though.
He just got a big deal. Yeah. I'm happy for him.
He's not going anywhere.
No, he's not going anywhere.
He's smart enough. He would never come back to this ownership.
No. Well, I mean, if you get a contract, get a contract. That's just really what it comes down to. If he's a free agent somewhere, yeah.
Paulie's on the space. Paul, I always love hearing from you. You want to say a couple words? Maybe he's not on, maybe he's got his phone next to him. Paul, are you there? Say a couple words, Bell.
Looks like he's listening right now.
Yeah, he's probably not. Okay. Well, we'll monitor, see if he does. But, other than that, I'll probably wrap this up in maybe like 15 minutes. Any other, anybody else who maybe hasn't had a chance to speak want to, there's Paulie. Paulie, come on. Come on up. I don't know if I have to take someone off. Ethan, I'm just going to temporarily take you off if I have to. Maybe there's not enough room. There you are. What's up, Paulie?
Not much. What's up, guys?
What's your take on the Devers thing?
I think it was a trade that I don't think anybody's surprised. I think the timing surprised everybody. I thought they were going to move him. We know John Henry, the minute he started talking, him being Devers not wanting to move positions, John Henry was calling that money that he could move him. Because we all know he didn't want to sign Devers. He was forced him to sign him, you know, from the fans booing him at the little thing in Connecticut. But my thing is this. Why does it seem like the Red Sox never just put a guy out there for auction and see what they could have got for him? You could have got a boatload for this guy if you had just put him out there. There's plenty of teams that need offense. It just seems like whenever they want to sell a guy, they just sell him at like 10 cents on the dollar. Why is it just me that sees that? I feel like even back in the day when they traded Manny, they got Jason Bay, but Jason Bay wasn't nobody that could put a team on his back. He played good for us in a way. I agree, but they seem like when they get rid of a guy, put him up for auction, see who's going to take him. I mean, that's my biggest problem. Not that they traded him, because honestly, I wanted Devers gone, but I wanted him going at the end of the season. You have to put your foot down. You can't allow guys to run the ship. And I just think I lost a lot of respect for Devers when he pulled that crap. So I wanted him going, but I wanted him going at the end of the season because I figured you could have got more for him. You just seem like you got pennies on the dollar. I mean, this guy's a top five, top six hitter in the baseball. We got seems like short changed on it. What's up with that, Jim? Why do they always get seems like crap for the top talent?
Yeah, I know. I think Nick and Chris were pointing on that too. It's like we just, you know, I feel like we always get the bad end of the stick on these trades. I mean, I know there's maybe some upside with Harrison there. I mean, Stan was talking about it earlier, but the bottom line here is, you know, you look back at some of these trades. I mean, you know, we've been complaining about Mookie Betts for 5 or 6 years already, and Connor Wong's the only guy we got left.
You just got a guy that's got an ERA over 6.5. Well, you got another guy with a minor leaguer who may be okay, and then two other young kids. I mean, they certainly are not going to be involved in anything you're doing this offseason. So to Chris's point, I hope there's another shoe that drops. To Nick's point, I hope there's another shoe that drops. But, I just don't know how you wake up tomorrow morning as a Red Sox fan and be happy about this. I don't think you can.
I'm happy about it. I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not.
I'm definitely not happy about it. I'm not even looking forward to watching the game tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and then we're going to go to San Francisco of all places after this and then see him, you know, in a San Francisco uniform. I mean, you can't script it anything different. It's like, all right, well, we're going to go ahead to Houston and we'll trade, you know, Vasquez to Houston and then have him hit against us.
Jim, I honestly thought that they had traded him just before the series started, just like they did with Vasquez. I was like, oh my God, are they literally trading him while they're in San Fran? Like, are they doing this right now?
That trade was a good trade, though. Willie Abreu for Vasquez.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. But the optics were terrible.
Yeah, the optics were bad. And you know what, too, Rob? I still question that, too. While I like Abreu, you wound up getting Valdez in that deal, too, and he was a bust. So, I mean.
I know, but Abreu's a much better player now than Vasquez ever was. I mean, Vasquez was a mediocre catcher who could not hit. You know, I mean, he's still out there playing. Like, hey, man, God bless him.
Yeah. I'd rather have Vasquez than Connor Wong.
Agreed. I would have Vasquez as a backup catcher, yeah.
That's a whole other trade that only me and my psychoanalysts have been talking about that I don't share anymore. I mean, that's a bad trade all the way around.
But, you know, to Paulie's point, you know, the reality is that, you know, you should have been able to get more for Devers if you're competing this year. So, you know, if there is going to be another shoe that drops, fine. You know, we'll let it play out for a little while. But, you know, that term little while has to be short, right? Because you're in it to win ball games and you can't let this go for 2 or 3 weeks without making some other move if you are making another move.
And that's what we got time.
There's games to lose and that's the concern.
There's always going to be. Absolutely right.
Yeah. 100%. So if you want to stay in this wild card hunt, you know, you got to do something quicker than later. So, you know, Paulie, I'm going to be totally upset if they don't do anything. You know, if this happens to be like the off season of 22 to 23 where they did absolute jack squat, I'm going to be as pissed as I've ever been of the Red Sox in the last 5 years. And I will continue to murder them left and right because this is just something that you have to have another move in tow. If you don't, then this is just absolutely insane.
Just hope that the pitching staff continues to pitch well. Otherwise, it doesn't make a difference. That, you know, I mean, we're going to be talking about the pitching again. If the rotation only goes 3 or 4 innings and burns the bullpen out every single time, it won't matter if Devers is there or if they had Devers and they had Babe Ruth and they had every other all-star from the past and present playing. Their pitching was just going to kill them. The game's about pitching and defense. Can't forget.
Well, there's no question. And this is why, you know, you can't have these roller coaster starts by Lucas Giolito. You can't have roller coaster starts by Buehler. You can't have Garrett Crochet and 4 other guys. That's, you know, right. They've got to be able to step it up. And obviously, to your point, Rob, when they step it up, what happens? You win 4 or 5 games in a row and you beat the Yankees. That's so right. I totally get it. And I also see Stan's point about it. Devers is in a 4 for 50 slump or whatever it is, and you almost didn't even notice it. But there's that presence in the lineup, and the fact is that, you know, he's protecting Duran and whatnot. But
good opportunity for some of these young guys now to step up and make a name for themselves, at least until they can find someone, hopefully find another bat. This is a great time for him. I like Meyer. I think Meyer's going to be a stud.
I'll tell you what, if they strike out on all 3 of these kids.
Oh man.
It's going to be absolutely murder because there is nothing else in the pot. I mean, Chris would be able to be the guy to tell you, don't listen to me, but, you know, because he does a lot of minor league stuff. But,
yeah.
Chris, I mean, there's really not much in the pipeline, right? Blaze Jordan? I mean, what else do we have besides the password? And the password. What else do we have?
That's a good question. That's like, you know, on the cusp for big league ready. That's sort of it. I mean, they have the guys, but there's nothing that profiles to what, I guess, theoretically myself and others for the last couple of years have shoved down your throats in regards to, you know, these top prospects. But
so it was fun watching the password play in spring training, though, I'll tell you.
No, these kids are, you know, have been fun to watch, and that's, I guess, the silver lining to all of this. But, you know, the password's only been in AAA for a couple of weeks. Jordan's only been there for, you know, for a couple of weeks. You know, they got Romero down in AA. You know, there's some, I mean, yes, for hitters, but there is still some good young pitchers that are coming up. Nobody that's going to be an ace, but there's still good young players. I think what's ultimately going to hinge on is, you know, what are you going to do with the money that you've now recoup back for Devers this winter? You know,
who's the free agent? I mean, right off the bat,
there's two names that come to mind for me, like the okay, to be in the conversation with. One is Kyle Tucker, and I don't care how many outfielders this team has.
Oh, he's a stud.
You need to be in the conversation for him, and I would be in on Pete Alonso. I mean, you got to get power somewhere.
Let me ask you a question. Anybody can respond to this, please. What's anybody's thoughts about trying to talk to Dombrowski about getting
him to come back and be GM?
No. What's his face? I just threw it. Bryce Harper. What about Bryce Harper?
I would think that's more of a type dream. I think
Bryce Harper is a Philly for life.
He had some good things to say.
Plus the fact that Bryce Harper has
What about pitchers? What starting pitchers are available this offseason?
I didn't dig too deep into that. I was looking at the hitters before just because I wanted to get an idea.
We got to replace the offense, man.
That's really going to be huge. Giolito and Buehler are free agents after this year.
Those two guys are free agents.
Where's your free agent?
Get other reclamation projects in the trash dump to come in next year. Don't worry.
Yeah, what's his name? They got that one dude from the Angels.
Sandoval.
Here's a list according to MLB trade rumors. So Kyle Tucker is number one. Dylan Cease is number two.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's always been
number three. Munetaka Murakami.
I think he's
Alex Bregman, number five. Zach Gallen, who's having a really bad year, number six.
I think he hurt his arm, didn't he?
Framber Valdez from the Astros. Michael King, Ranger Suarez, Pete Alonso are your top 10.
Dylan Cease would look really good next at Crochet next year if he's still throwing well.
Yeah.
He would be, that would be those two guys leading the rotation. Damn. That would be nice to see.
Yeah, I would agree that I would love to see a pitcher like Cease there. I would like for them to go ahead and they need to make another move like they did this offseason for Crochet. Now look, I really don't give Craig Breslow a ton of credit for trading for Garrett Crochet. Anybody on this, you know, space right now could have done that. When you have a farm system that the Red Sox have and you're a general manager or whatever the hell you want to call yourself, you make those type of trades. That's what you get paid to do. I give him more, you know, the credits for finding the Navarez. Like, Navarez to me is the best move that he's made, you know, running this team since he took over. Like, those are the moves that I want to give him credit for.
Well, the Whitlock.
Amazing. Amazing on Navarez.
Whitlock was all the Yeah. You got Whitlock, Navarez.
But to me, at some point though, and I appreciate that this organization has taken the focus that they've done with, from a pitching perspective and the pipeline, but it always seems like every move that is being reported is just so pitching focused. It's like they've been resting on these young kids and the three of them are now there. And it's like, who's the next one to come up? I just feel like they're forgetting about the offense. And I feel like it's been this way for a little bit now. At some point, you have to replenish this offense. And
you got to trade some of those guys. Though.
They're going to trade.
That's the thing.
Hard decision. I think a guy like Password is going to be somebody that's probably going to get dangled in a move. And that's why, you know, I'm going to I'm going to take a step back, I guess, a little bit and kind of see what they're going to do in the next couple of weeks. But
there you go.
I mean, if they don't do much, or if they trade another guy, like if they trade a Chapman or they trade a Duran and whatever, then I think we know like they're not serious about winning. They said they were and they're not. And, you know, we're kind of spinning these tires again with this team. And so, we'll have to wait for a little bit more information to come out. I think we're going to probably see a lot of information come out on Devers, because it always happens when a guy leaves, you know, whether it's,
now the truth will come out. Some of the truth might get exaggerated, but it'll be things that the reporters, the beat writers couldn't write about while it's happening. They just couldn't do it.
And which I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of times that does suck. You know, there's a lot of times there's a lot of information that's shared, and it's you have to pick and choose your battles. You know what I mean? And it sucks sometimes to do that. But you know, if the Red Sox are hovering and they're remaining in it with the players they have and they intend to, you know, add on more pieces, okay, you know, let's see what they can do. But you know, coming into this year, it was just a completely different feeling. You know what I mean? Like Alex Bregman and Garrett Crochet, and you know, these are names that, you know, have always been connected, or players to that stature, and the Red Sox seemingly always either missed out or didn't want to pay enough, and now they brought them in, and 2 months, you know, into the season, they just traded Rafael Devers. I don't know, guys.
They do need a first baseman still. I mean, I know that the guys are holding it down all right, you know, but they still need that first baseman.
Well, guys, I'll just kind of mute everybody. It's about 10:30. I kind of want to call tonight's episode. I want to thank everybody for being on tonight's space, and everybody that tuned in, dropped a take. It was great hearing from everybody. Please, if you can, go ahead and subscribe to our new newsletter at RedSoxDigest.com. We also have a podcast going on, and this will be uploaded to the podcast so you guys can re-listen to this. And also, please subscribe to Beyond the Monster and with Chris Henrique. Appreciate Chris being on here with us tonight. And everybody have a good night and a good week ahead.
Have a good night, everybody.